The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
Welcome in to this pre-Christmas edition of the Two-Man Game. We're about a week. We are a week out from Christmas, Coach Steve Smiley. Merry Christmas.
Well,
Happy New Year.
It's the 18th, so yeah, it's a week out.
It's moving quickly, man. It's moving quickly.
So I'm sitting in... You know, we can talk about the fight song. There's no fight song today because it's a loss.
I wanted to play it.
And that's okay, though, because it makes you grateful for when the song plays. And,
yeah.
But then, why am I bringing that up? Because I'm sitting in the Las Vegas airport, and you're like, wait a second, Vegas, we can talk about this, too. And this guy and his wife are talking about, man, it's 10 days from Christmas. And I was sitting there like, holy moly, it's 10 days from Christmas. Why were we in the Vegas airport? Talk about gratitude, right? Well, we're in the Vegas airport because when we got these flights and got organized about 6 months ahead of time, this is the one trip we couldn't get a direct flight to Lubbock, which seems crazy because there's plenty of them. Coach Linder was like, what do you mean you didn't get a direct flight? So we're in Vegas. We had connecting flights on the way out and the way back, and it was terrible. And so we met at the Bank Colorado Arena. What was the game on Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday. So
Tuesday,
Monday morning, 4 a.m. leave time from Bank Colorado Arena. We didn't get into Lubbock. I mean, we changed two time zones, so we went from Denver to Vegas and then Vegas to Lubbock with, you know, a two-hour layover or whatever it is. And it was really hard travel. But it also, too, it's that idea of being grateful that most of the time we have direct flights. A lot of teams in our league don't have that. The Montanas, obviously, you know, places like that, smaller places, where you either got to connect into Denver and get somewhere, or you've got a massive drive to get to an airport, too. And so, like, you know— we could complain about the, you know, no direct flights to Lubbock, which is like an hour flight, as opposed to an hour flight. It was like an eight-hour travel day. On the way back, we went through Dallas Love Field yesterday. So I didn't get back last night. You know, we left at 8 a.m. We got back. It was pitch black, 5:30 at night.
Wow.
So you could complain about it, but being grateful for usually having direct flights, usually this year, the fight song has been playing to start the podcast, right?
Yeah.
So, hey, let's just embrace it. And we did have to play by the rules. It was a great game, but no fight song.
I mean, I actually slipped yesterday talking about the game, Coach. And I said, the Bears get the big win. And I'm like, wait. I said it on the air. I said, Coach Smiley's going to be pissed that I said that because it sounds it sounds like I'm saying moral victory.
The moral victory, yes.
Yeah, but let's just call it what it is. They're ranked 19th, Texas Tech's 19th at the time you play them. I don't know where they are, where they're going to be, whatever. You're without Quinn Danker, who has been, as far as production, your best producer this year.
Probably the player of the year in the league so far.
Yeah, so you're without him.
Yep.
Obviously, weird flight stuff, which I didn't even know about that. Did you know this? You were 25.5-point underdogs.
Yeah.
And you guys are within two with, like, 2.5 minutes to go.
Yeah, well, and one other, you know, catastrophic deal is that Egan Shields got knocked out.
Yeah.
You know, right away, and he was playing great.
Mm-hmm.
He was playing absolutely great. And what was tough about that, other than losing one of your best players, is our entire ball screen coverage plan, which was unique for this game, based off of two bigs that can't shoot it great. Well, you know, obviously Watts proved it. And then Toppin's made 2 threes all year. He banks one in. You know, so it's tough. But the whole plan was we are going to play big a lot with Brock and Egan. And so we had worked for 3 or 4 days on an offspring of our traditional ball screen coverage because you got to do some stuff for Christian Anderson, their point guard, who's one of the best players in the country. And I did not want him going downhill. But then how do you try to put a sprinkle on it? And I don't want to give away all the secrets, but we had a great plan. But the plan was we're going to be playing big. There was Ring would probably place a lot of three. Ibu would probably play a lot of two as the game goes on and morphs and shapes and shifts. But then Egan gets knocked out right away. And so, you know, we stayed with the plan and we did a good job. But when you lose one of your best players right away, too, and credit to our entire team, you know, I mean, Hunter Caldwell came in, and he's going to be a great player, but that's a lot to ask of a freshman. You know, 10,000 people there. You know, a lot of people have JT Toppin preseason player of the year, and he still might be the player of the year. Hey, go guard that guy.
Yeah, good luck, man.
But, you know, it was one of our best, if not best team wins against South Dakota when Quinn gets knocked out. But then, two, obviously there's so much excitement with what we did down there, but understanding how we rallied together as a team again, I couldn't be more proud of the guys.
Well, first off, like, how's and I know we can only talk about so much on the injury stuff, but Egan, how's he doing today as we talk here on the 18th?
He is a TBD. I mean, he's, you know, you get pulled out, obviously, with those. I mean, people saw it, you know, the head-to-head injuries. And, and so then you got to go through protocol and you got to go through symptoms and the trainer. And then, you know, are you in concussion protocol or not? We're still trying to figure that out. But to me, it's like, I mean, we're preparing mentally as though he's not going to play. I don't know. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's all 50-50 on recovery times. But, you know, we play in, 2 days or whatever it is. And obviously, I haven't seen the guys yet this morning. We haven't, you know, we're going straight into practice after this deal. But, you know, we've got to be ready and prepared for him not to be back. And you know, and then you got the Danker thing too, which he's, I think he's recovering rapidly. But, you know, it's no surprise that he did, you know, I mean, everyone knows he broke his hand. And what is today, Thursday?
Yeah.
It's Thursday.
Yeah.
So, you know, he had his, I think it was Monday, went in for the surgery. So he's not going to be playing, you know, but he's coming back quick, man. So we'll see. So now it's like, hey, you know, we got to be very intentional and very intelligent about how we approach these next couple practices. Because, like, the margin is thin for us. And DU's really good, man. They won at CSU. They won at Montana State. We got to make sure we're as healthy as can be to give our best, you know, best punch out there on Saturday. But we'll be ready. We got plenty of guys. And that next man up thing, that's been a real thing the last couple games.
I want to – obviously some specifics about certain player performances. I want to get into that.
Sure.
But I wanted to be delicate in how you asked this question because – you end up losing 101-90. I hate even like saying, how do you approach a game like that? I think I asked that last week. I know the approach is like, we believe.
Yeah.
Like, you're a competitor. We believe we're going to go in and win. Then I look, I didn't think it was going to be 25.5. It's 25.5. How do you walk, when you walk away from that game, do you go, dude, we just gave a top 20 team all they could handle for 98% of that game? Or do you go, We should have won that game.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we could have. I don't know if we should have, but I feel like we should have beat St. Thomas.
Yeah,
we could have beat Texas Tech, and you could say too, like, we could have lost to South Dakota. We could have lost all these overtime. So, but like that line would not be that line anymore, right? Like, you know, we jumped up and we're a top 100 net team, but you know, the line is that was obviously the highest ranked team we've played, and then, you know, when you factor lines and people knew that, you know, Danker's not going to play, so they're that's cooked into the line. Like, hey, you know, the guy that's literally like maybe leading the league in scoring, maybe leading the league in assists, 2-time player of the week, he's not playing, and so that's cooked into the line too. So, but I still was like, man, 25. I think, and we're 9-1. We're pretty good, man. So, but for us, you know, what was cool about it is like, you know, one of my, you know, I got all these quotes and, you know, slogans and sayings. But one thing, too, is we always try to sell the big picture. And, like, for this one, it's begin with the end in mind. And, you know, the idea was in the final speech, begin with the end in mind. It's like, look, man, like, we are good enough to win our league. Like, there's no doubt about it. We're good enough to win the whole thing. We're good enough to go to March Madness. The end in mind is you want to win a game of March Madness. This is the team you play.
Yeah.
This is a 2-15, 3-14 game. So can we beat a team, right, that we would play in the first round of March Madness to do something our league hasn't done in 10, 15, 20 years? That's the end in mind. Is can we walk in here in a hostile, right, environment? This is not neutral. But you're going to have to beat this team to do something our league hasn't done in at least, I don't know what the years are, at least a decade, maybe more, because the Big Sky hasn't won a game in forever. And but you're going to have to beat a team like this. And our guys loved it. Like, they're eating that thing out of, yeah, man, let's go do it. And they approached it as such. And the problem was they you know, Texas Tech had 25 points in the first 7 minutes. I was like, dude, they're going to score 150 points tonight.
Yeah, and then something – and then what – yeah, what happened? What
changed? I mean, nothing changed.
They still scored a lot, but you guys started scoring a lot,
yeah,
too.
We were scoring, too. And what was good about it is when you lose your leading scorer, and then even Egan was our leading scorer in South Dakota. Now you've lost two of your leading scorers. Man, guys stepped up. You know, Brock was amazing. Zach was great. But then you look at, you know, Delano. Like,
he was Excellent.
Awesome.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
There was
yeah.
a confidence, like, yeah. watching him. He looked like he'd been there before, ready yeah. for these kind of games, ready to yeah. rock and roll.
You look at Arik, you look at Ring, you look at, you know, Hunter Caldwell goes and bangs a three, and I know I'm missing guys, but, you know, the guys stepped up, and that's what's encouraging. And it's like as you move to, you know, the whole focus on DU, but you get done with DU, and then after Christmas with CU, it's like, okay, you walk into, you know, Coors Arena or whatever it is, and you're looking around, pretty nice arena, but it doesn't shake you because you've already played at Texas Tech. You've already played mm-hmm. in front of 10,000 people. So does it help you in the sense of the mindset, the environment of playing against the Buffs, you know, after Christmas? Yeah, for sure it does. Because you've already gone against a national player of the year in JT Topp and really Christian Anderson too. And so I think, you know, mentally you're trying to find ways to sell it to your guys. But the one thing about our guys, like, there wasn't one guy on our team that walked into that atmosphere and says, man, this is too big for us. Like, there was nobody, and it was great to see.
Yeah, it just, every moment in that game where it felt like Texas Tech was going to start pulling away, somebody would come up with a
yeah,
big play.
Big play, big shots, timely shots. I mean, we, you know, talking to Coach McCaslin the next day, he was like, man, he's like, the one thing is what you guys were able to do offensively without your leading scorer and assist guy out was extremely impressive. And I was impressed too. Like, man, we guys played to a high level, you know, whether it's knocking down shots, finishing, you know, sharing the ball, the whole thing. That size, length, and athleticism is different. It's just different than every other team we've played and every team we'll play this year. CU being the other team because they're really big and athletic too. But this is like the elite of the elite of the elite. And if you play reckless and sort of go in there, throw a shot up, they're just, you're just playing into their hands. But can you get in there, and then can you get to 2 feet? Can you get to the next guy? Can you get him spinning around? And we did a great job of that.
When you talk about Grant McCaslin and like that conversation the next day, I watch games so differently sometimes because yeah. knowing you, and I'm like, I wonder if these coaches on the side are like, man, what is Smiley being, what is he cooking? Because your teams are always pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Do you get these coaches that, because you had Houston's coach come up to you and talk to you years ago? We've talked about that. Does a guy like Grant come in and say, man, you are, like, what is that conversation
yeah, well,
like?
You know, and he's a friend.
Like a respect
and,
factor.
And, yeah, he's a friend. And obviously with Coach Leonard down there. And shoot, man, after the game, after I got finished up stuff, I sat with Coach Leonard in the arena. And my brother, my crazy brother, who, again, he's the connector to Coach Leonard. He drove. He was staying in Denver. So he drove down to Lubbock. And the funny thing is he left at 4:30 in the morning, which I don't know why, on Monday, and he got there before we did flying. The thing about that, driving,
wow.
he got there before we got there flying because of it was hard travel. But
yeah, sure.
So he went to Linder's practice, and then he, you know, came to ours, and he stayed with Coach Linder, and they, you know, Linder was gracious enough to cook him up a steak and, you know, give him the guest bedroom. But anyways, you know, after the game, we sat there and was talking for a little bit, and he's mad. You know, because the team gave up 90 points and this and that, and you know we're disappointed because we lost. But I mean, it's like you're just talking, just chopping it up, and then you know, I just sent Coach McCaslin a text, hey man, just, you know, you guys are great, rooting for you guys, and but we've known each other for a long time, and it was very complimentary. But I mean, you go back to like when we played FAU in the CBI tournament years ago, when we beat Dusty May and those guys. Well, they're in the same league as Grant McCaslin in North Texas. So you look at the league, I don't know anything about FAU, you know, so it's like, do we know anybody in the league that can give us anything? And I remember calling Coach McCaslin and said, okay, what do you think about FAU? And he's like, oh, I just tell you they're good, man. I was like, ah, jeez. He's like, those dudes are good. So, yeah, you know, he's just been a personal friend for a long time, you know, and whether it's recruiting guys when I was at Sheridan College and he was an assistant out chasing junior college guys, he's got junior college background being the Midland head coach, so you got the junior college connection too. But no, I mean, it's he was like, yeah, man, like what you guys were able to do, you know, punching us in the mouth offensively, which he's like, I'm just shocked. He's like, and I'm also concerned for my team, but like,
yeah,
you know, all respect on how you guys played, you know, it was great.
I mean, I think they were averaging around defensively as far as points allowed in the mid 70s.
Is that what it was?
I think it was. And so you guys score
90
on this team. And 30, almost 30 of that was Brock Wisney.
Yeah, he's great.
He's been I voted him to be Big Sky Conference Player of the Year.
Yeah.
He's been good this year.
Yeah.
He was on another planet, it seemed like, in that game.
Yeah, I think he got to, like, the infamous flow state, you know, the inner game of tennis, you know, for those weirdos that don't listen to this, that actually listen to, like, and wanted to know some sports psychology. Hey, man, read the inner game of Tennessee. Hit flow state. I think he hit flow state. And like that one shot where he forgot, you know, the clock was running out. And he just turned and banged it.
Yeah. I was like, what is going on?
He had a three that he could have shot. And then, you know, the timeout came. I was like, hey, how about you just take the first? He's laughing. Like, I think he was just in flow state. You know?
That play you're talking about, too, like, that was balls bouncing everywhere.
Yeah, and debacle.
Trying to fight for their offensive rebound. Suddenly it ends up in Brock's hands, and he's like, Kobe, and just knocks it in.
He's really good, but he's such a selfless star, if you want to call that, because he really honestly doesn't care if he scores 8 points or 29. Some people are so screwed up in this thing that they're so happy, especially guys that have eligibility left. They're like, well, I scored 29. That's going to give me a payday next year. That's what like a lot of college basketball players. Now, he's graduating, and he would never think that, but that's what a lot of people think. Like, man, I just scored 29 against Texas Tech. It's going to change my life next year, like in terms of the portal and stuff. And we have so many guys, and that's one thing Coach Leonard said too. He's like, dude, he's like, you can just see like your team is so invested, and they fight for each other, and they play for each other, and there's glory and joy in what they do. And it starts with Brock, Quinn, Zach, those guys, and they're so invested into the Bears, man, and winning, and it gives us a real chance. It really does.
It's so much fun.
Like, it is.
Let me just say,
it's
like,
a fun team to coach.
From a fan's perspective, man.
People see it.
It's so much fun.
People see it. They talk about it. You know, I got back last night, 5:30, and there was a holiday party with one of our, you know, friends and donors in this Christmas thing, and it was awesome. So we go over there, and it was at one of the businesses downtown, and I mean, there's a lot of people there, and you know, and I got there, got my white shirt, I have this one Christmas tie, and I just recycle it over and over. It wasn't like the ugly sweater party, but it was like, you can wear whatever you want to wear, but like, you know, so I slapped on the shirt and tie, and I got up at 5:30, party started at 6, I rip home, okay, get the shower, wife was ready to go, get over there, we weren't going to stay long, because I got to get back, and I'd cut enough DU film on our 8-hour odyssey that I felt like, okay, I know the starting point. And then today after practice, wife and I are driving to Cherry Creek High School because Madden plays. But she's driving, so I get that gives me 3 hours of preparation time, right? Like, it's just critical. And it sounds crazy, but you need that time to prepare for these games. But so we go to the Christmas thing, and, like, there's such a real buzz, man. Everyone watched the game, even people I didn't know. And it's not about the winning and losing, per se, because we've won a lot, too. But it's like, man, there's something about this team, right? And the resolve and the resiliency of these guys, like – man, I mean, Arik, dude's a freshman. Mm-hmm. He didn't walk into that game scared.
No.
Right? Like, you know, he played 24 minutes, and I just, you know, you could bring Hunter Caldwell, Vince Delano, he's only a sophomore. Vince Delano's a sophomore.
He looked the part.
Yeah. Ring is a sophomore, and he didn't play that much as a true freshman last year at UMKC. He played a little bit, but like, you're asking guys to walk into big time, you know, atmospheres, and like, they're like, yeah, let's go do it. And at the end of the day, we have a tough team. We're not perfect. We made a lot of mistakes, and we'll learn from those today, because you just got to use these teachable moments, because we're trying to win 3 games in March. That's it. But like, one thing you can't, we got rebounded Texas Tech by 10. Now, they didn't miss a lot of shots, right? But you know, they got 4 offensive rebounds. And now I think in the country now, last year we finished 2nd in the country and not giving up offensive rebounds. This is the type of game that destroys that. And we're like 38 right now, which is great, out of 363. But we want more, right? We're now 17th in not allowing off, because we gave them 4, you know? And they made a lot of shots to score 101 points. But like, our rebound effort, and that's just there's some detail and some habits and some techniques, but it's toughness. And I think that carries. I think that carries into the next game and the next game in the league, and that's what we're going to have a chance.
For a guy like Vincent Delano, like, that's got to be exciting for the foreseeable future, but also, like, there's the potential future right there, too. I mean, just the way he handled it, because, you know, you could say, oh, well, Quinn Dinker wasn't there. And again, Quinn's been so phenomenal, but, man, Vincent played really well in this game.
Yeah, and we're always better when we have all of them, right?
Right, because bringing him off the bench,
no question,
deeper. Yeah.
Whatever it is. But, and we've had great lineups with the Vince, Quinn, Zach. And that's where when you lose Quinn can play 1 through 4 in our system. And if we want to play small, you could play him at the 1 or traditional. You want to – or big, I mean. You want to play small, we can move him all the way to the 4 because he knows all the stuff. Mm-hmm. He's like a version of what we did with Langston last year. And so losing him, it's not just losing a great player. It's losing all this versatility and, you know, being able to move your lineups around because he knows the system. Same thing when you lose an Egan. it's not just losing Egan, it loses Brock moving to the four. And again, you know, credit to Hunter. We put Brock at the four, lived with Hunter at the five, and it worked. And so it's not just about the single player and what they bring. It's about how it flows within in the bigger context of how you want to play. But, yeah, Vince was great, man. And I thought he did a great job. Even at that level, he's so fast. He has a burst to him. But learning when to finish, which he had some great ones, but also learning to drive in there, and he had some great passes out of there. And that's the challenge, is learning how to do all that stuff. And he had a massive jump in that game. He really grew, which was great to see.
So many cool things about this game, though. I love to tell a story about Brock Wisney, because watching him in your first like Bears scrimmage that you do for the donors to come and all that stuff. His first time I ever saw him play.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just first thought was just really raw. You know, he can get to the rim, but the finishing's not really there. That finishing touch. Yeah. I'm watching him these last few games, especially in that game. Like he's got a touch down there.
Oh yeah, no, he's for the last couple of years. I mean, he's been one of the best finishers in the country.
Yeah.
And we just say, and some guys don't have it. I didn't have it. My ball just didn't go in. His ball goes in. It's weird. It's unorthodox. He's got weird angles. He's got stuff we work on all over the place. We call it quick finishing, and it's, you got to learn the spacing and all this different stuff. But, like, you can do all that stuff, and we do with all of our guys. And it's just some guys, their ball doesn't quite go in. His ball goes in. And we've always believed he could shoot threes. It had never really, you know, materialized yet. But it's one of the things that's unlocked our offense this year, too, is that people have to respect him now.
Mm-hmm.
And there were teams last year that would put him in coverage and he could pop out. And, you know, he'd throw one in every now and then. But now he's a legitimate threat, and you better guard him. And now it unlocks, like, hey, you want to switch? Because that's the only way to not give him open threes. Well, then he's just going to kill you on the block. You know, you put a little guy in him on the block, it's over, because he doesn't charge guys very much. He's great at using his hips, not his shoulders. He just knows how to play. So, yeah, he's a matchup nightmare.
Zach Block, too. My gosh.
He had some big shots, man. And the 8 assists was awesome.
And then the three made the 4-point play.
Mm.
Hands in his face.
Oh, man. It was right in front of me.
And he just drills that thing, man.
Drilled it.
I mean, that was one of those moments, too, where, Texas. Here goes Texas Tech.
Yeah, he hit, like, three of those 4-point type of, like, shots, like, the degree of difficulty. And it's like when Quinn went out against South Dakota, and we knew we were going to struggle. And I was like, hey, man, you might get 1 or 2 minutes off. He's Jonah now. And he's always been Jonah, but you're Jonah.
Yeah.
You might get 1 minute off, but you better pony up. And he loves it.
Yeah.
But then, too, like, what gets so hard when you exhaust the gas tank, right? When you empty it, it's not his effort. It's not he'll never make detail mistakes. But then saying, hey, go guard Christian Anderson,
mm-hmm.
who literally is like a priest and all-American. Go guard him. And then do all the detail stuff right. And then, oh, by the way, like, now you're going to have to ramp up your scoring a little bit too. And he's like, yep. So it's so fun for him. It's just like, you know, it's just so fun because he's been unsung his whole career too. He's really good, man. And so it's fun to see him. Not even like, I'm not surprised, but to be able to have the role, and he's going to fulfill the role.
And and every time I watch him have a game like that, which he's had a ton of already offensively, I just remember you talking to us in the offseason saying, we all know he's a hell of a defensive player. And I remember you saying it at one point in the podcast, look out, because we're getting ready to unlock. He's already good offensively. You're getting ready to see it. It's going to unlock, because maybe whatever different guys were expected to be scorers the last couple of years, you said it. You said, watch out. Here comes the offense, and we've seen it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's, you know, the fruits of your labor, right, and the patience. And no one has patience anymore, because we're in this microwave society in college basketball. And if you can't heat up that fake sausage McMuffin with 1 minute the way that I do for my kids in the morning, then we're unhappy. But, like, you know, we use this all the way to recruiting. And, like, I know we've talked about this probably in one of our pods, but, you know, the fastest way to cook something is throw it in the microwave. And it's fine. I do it sometimes too. But then it, you know, probably goes from the microwave to the what's on top of the oven, like the stove.
Yeah, there
and
we go.
It's probably, you not know, the cook. Oven, or maybe it's for sure the grill. Like when people start, it's not the grill, it's the smoker, right? But that might be over. Like Coach Reed is an infamous, like, legendary cook, and so he'll throw those. I don't know what he even throws in the smoker, but it's like, 2 days later, I'm gonna eat that thing.
Just smoke it for two days. I can't do that. Yeah.
But he knows how to do it. And it's just like, you know, be patient, patient. Things take time, and no one wants to hear that anymore. But it's like, you know, he's a classic. He redshirted his sophomore year. No one does that anymore. But it was the right move for his career, and it was his idea. So, like, yeah, it's just so fun to see someone have that much confidence, faith, patience, and to see what's going on right now. He was unbelievable against those guys.
Just a great group.
Yeah, and it's a great group.
And that game was so much fun. I remember looking at that spread. I think the morning show fellas were talking to me and said, well, what do you think? I said, you know what? If Quinn Danker's in this game, which we knew he wasn't going to be, I don't know that I wouldn't pick the Bears to win, Coach. And I'm not just saying that to suck up to you now.
We believe. Like, yeah. It's not just like a – we believe. Like, hey, like, we think we're good. And, yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, who knows if you got your full lineup and this and that. And, again, everyone deals with injuries, and they're injured too. And everyone's going to be injured to some degree. But the big thing is, as it moves forward, is who knows who's going to be ready for this game in 2 days against a really good DU team.
Yeah.
But, hey, man, we got to get it done. We got to get it done. We got to rally, and we got to get it done, and then we got to break, right? We're, as soon as the game's over, guys got to go home for Christmas. But the thing I know about this team is they will stay locked and they will stay present. They won't be thinking about Christmas, and their bags are literally packed. Game's over. They're going home. Mm-hmm. So is DU. But I would say the kicker of this thing is, like, who knows? Like, Montana Tech beat Montana last night. Montana Tech beat Montana. Then that's – Montana Tech's good. But, like, this time of year, wonky things happen because it's hard to stay present. It's hard.
Yeah.
Because you're all thinking about the break and home, and these guys don't get any breaks. And so the chance to get home, and you see it all the time. This weird stuff happens this week. And, again, us versus DU, this is a very good opponent. Our guys are not going to take these guys lightly. They know they're good. But can we stay present? But no matter what, depending on our roster, we're gonna have to. It's gonna have to be rallying for the cause and getting ready to go, because there's no doubt we're gonna be injured a little bit, and we gotta be ready to go.
Well, the DU things, like you said, that's a good basketball team. Unfortunately, kind of like the bookend of it, you had Texas Tech, and then you have that performance, and then right after you got CU.
Yeah,
they had a battle last. Let's talk about wonky games against Portland State.
No fans.
Nobody's
man.
In the stands.
Like COVID era stuff.
Too windy, I guess, to play basketball. Yep. That was a wild situation the whole thing through. Yep. But I truly believe it when I hear you say, like, this group will be locked in. That's a team that just beat CSU not that long ago, and that's a good basketball team.
Well, that, they won at CSU. They won at Montana State, the dust is starting to settle on our league. And, again, it's so hard to compare records, but, like, Montana State's clearly very good. They're good. And they've taken a bunch of these high-major teams to the bitter end. Could have beat CU, could have beat Boise State, could have beat, I think, Stanford. Like, they're good. And DU goes in and wins at Montana State. Mm-hmm. That's just as impressive in winning at CSU. That's extremely impressive. So, like, this DU team, and they're going to present some positional challenges. They're going to present some, the way they play, very good offensively. And so for us, like, we're going to have to fight them. We're going to have to guard them. We're going to have to fight them. And that's going to have to be the MO.
Coach, I wanted to, and again, it's so much fun just to talk about the games and get into the games with you, but we also talk about, like, big stuff, like big picture stuff. Not that this is big, but, like, as far as the business of college sports.
The forest.
Your old buddy, Joel Klatt, kind of set the world on fire the other day.
Yeah, with some of his, Joel, man.
Because you guys obviously know pretty good buds back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, he was a year younger than me at Pomona High School, and I'll never forget when we were about 7, 8 years old for his birthday party, and it was a sleepover at his house. And we've always been rough and tumble dudes, and so it was carpet basketball downstairs. And so, like, you're hooping, and there's about 4 or 5 of us down there. It's carpet basketball, and so really, like, there's no dribbling per se, right? Just they have that little ball and that little Nerf hoop, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it was. And there was a tackle. And the tackle put Joel's head into the, the corners. So, like, there was a wall, and his head hit the corners of the wall.
Ooh.
So he split his head open. So his dad, legendary Gary Klatt, legendary football coach, multiple state championships at Pomona High School. Shout out Pomona back in the day. They actually just won it again. They beat the Windsor Wizards, but Coach Klatt had to take Joel to the ER to stitch him up. So now I still remember this. So. We were sitting there. We were staying up all night, man. The boys, man. There's like 5 of us, and we're like 8 years old, maybe 10. I don't know. Maybe let's call it like 10 or 11. Who knows? But we were staying up all night long. So dad left. So I still remember the movie. We got sleeping bags out. Got the couches. We're just laying down there, just being the boys. I think it was Total Recall.
Nice.
The original Total. Yeah, it was great, man. And so now Joel. What a great career so far for him, right?
Yeah, I love listening to his stuff.
I don't see him much anymore because he's all over the country and he lives in L.A. But, I saw his brother who is the head football coach at Mead.
His brother's a regular with Coach Speak as they're talking high school football.
Yep, and Windsor just played Mead in basketball. Jason's brother, his son plays, I think he plays JV, so he was watching the game. We were hanging out a little bit and talking about Joel, but Joel's living a good life too, man. He's golfing. He gets to take his boys to school every day. He's living a good life. But anyways, I digress.
He had some interesting things to say, you know, talking about college football playoffs and talking about Tulane and James Madison being in this weekend, basically saying nobody cares about Cinderella stories. And then he kind of jumped off and took a couple of shots at college basketball. And he says it's nobody, you know, it's a dumb tournament. All this stuff. The only thing that I kind of was like, okay, I get what he's saying when he said, like, you know, in the NBA, best of seven, you're gonna find out who the best team is.
Sure, true.
In March Madness, there are times where a team that you give them seven tries at that team, they might not be able to beat them, but suddenly something goes right.
Yeah,
some guy gets hot. So I get it when he's saying like weird times and all that stuff. But at the same end, I'm also like a logical business minded kind of person, and I go, that's what everybody loves about March Madness is that it's crazy.
Joel took it too far,
a little
man.
Too far, especially calling it a dumb tournament.
And I actually agree with the football stuff to some degree, because like I don't follow football, you know, as much as the other guys, but it is weird when you got, I can't wrap my head around why there's two of those teams in there. It's James Madison. Who's the other team?
James Madison, Tulane.
I can't wrap my head around the
top five highest ranked conference champs get in. So there was never a differentiation.
So
a differenti-
five team, right?
So, yeah.
Yeah, I understand and that. But how did two of these teams get in?
Yeah, because Duke won the ACC, but they weren't ranked. So James Madison was ranked, and Tulane was ranked. So that's why they got in.
Oh, okay.
And Miami got in for the ACC because they were ranked, but they weren't even in the championship game. So it's a wild thing.
I'm on Team Joel.
They're already changing it, though.
Yeah, I'm on Team Joel that two of those teams get in, and it is weird. But at the same point, like, I love that the college football playoff has expanded. Like, if it was, like, six teams get in, hey, it's 12, man. You could complain because you were, you know, Notre Dame. Like, Brock's dad played Notre Dame, so Brock's a huge Notre Dame
guy.
Brock's
had a hard time, yeah.
He's having a hard time with this. But at the same point in time, like, hey, like, just don't lose those other, like, be ranked seventh. Right. I mean, it's not like three teams get in, 12 get in, but it's still like it is weird. I do not agree with Joel's take on the basketball thing because, you know, the variety and the craziness, it's what makes the tournament. And no matter what you say, it's what pays the bills, because the excitement of that is why it's a multi-billion-dollar tournament and that is aired on all these different networks, and it's all about the money. And the other thing I'll say is this too. Yes, a lower seed team could beat a higher seed team. But, and fact check me on this, Brady, but last year, the four number one seeds got in to the Final Four.
Most of the time, the Final Four kind of works out.
Yeah, because of the NIL and the portal and this and that, like, there is becoming a massive, you know, chasm between the elites and still really good teams. But, like, it's just different because now, obviously, the mid-major players, they're great, and then they leave. And so it's getting harder and harder and harder. The biggest upset in college basketball this year, right now, statistically, is DU over CSU in the country.
Is that really?
Yes.
Wow.
And if we would have beat Texas Tech, it would have been the biggest one by a landslide, because I don't believe any I don't want to say unranked team, because I'm sure an unranked team is a pretty ranked team, but like with that spread and all that kind of stuff, it would have been the biggest upset in the entire year. Because right now it is the DU-CSU thing. So, yeah, I mean, you're seeing less and less upsets everywhere. I love the basketball tournament, not just because we're in the mid-major world. I know this, if the basketball thing turned into the football thing, which it's perilous. If it turned into the deal where like they stopped the auto bids, the one bids, it would make it really, really hard to have the same joy and keep a team going at this level. No matter what happens is, if you can win three games in March, you're in, man.
Yep.
And if that ever goes away because of the money, and that's a real concern. If that ever goes away, it changes this level completely.
Yeah, the carrot. It's nice to have the carrot. I've always said that, like, a seat at the table is all we're asking for.
Especially when there's 68, right? There's 68. There's not 12. So you're talking about completely different markets. But yeah, I mean, it makes it exciting, man. The 68 teams, and who knows what it looks like. You know, they're going to probably expand it again. And whether you're for it or against it, it's for money, you know, at the end of the day. But just hopefully the one bid stay. That's the thing that we've always hoped and worried about.
Well, and his point too, you know, as far as, and I think you and I kind of agree on this, like, you're not going to have the same Cinderella story in football.
No.
Odds are, no, because when we're talking size and speed in football, I mean, you take an offensive line for Ohio State and Alabama and those teams, compare it to a James Madison and Tulane, it's all in the trenches.
It's different.
In basketball, you could get a guy that just goes unconscious and hits
for sure
10 threes in a game, and their best three-point shooter suddenly is just as cold as hell.
Yeah.
You can have that happen. It doesn't happen all the time, but that can happen, and then you can take advantage of it, which still makes you a great basketball team. Cinderella stories are fun. They're still good. They had to get into the tournament. They're still good teams.
Well, it goes to that Montana Tech Montana game. I said, you know, I only saw the very end. I got back from the old Christmas party and pulled that one up, and then pulled the Portland State thing up. And the announcers were saying there was a guy from Montana Tech took a three, missed it. They're like, oh man, he's missed four in a row. He was on fire earlier. He'd made his first eight. I was like, this dude hit eight, and I didn't look at the box. Or this dude hit eight threes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that can happen. Like, that variance can happen, can change everything. And I think that Montana Tech team is a really good team, from what I've heard. I don't follow it, but yeah, like the variance can really change in basketball in a 40-minute game, you know, and you can manipulate the time of game a little bit. You want to play fast, you want to play slow. Like, there's ways to do it to give yourself a chance. But in football, I mean, the trenches, the physicality, it's just different.
Well, in football, it's like you mentioned Brock Wisney in the flow state. Football is kind of harder to get in that state. You can have a quarterback that's just, like, seeing everything really well. But for, like, a receiver, they're not like, they make great catches, but it's not like, oh, he's on fire. He's just feeling it tonight. Basketball, it's a different sport when it comes to that. You don't get one guy on the field. Because if he does catch five passes in a row, and it's Tulane and whoever the hell, what are they playing? Or is it James Madison in Oregon? Is that who it is?
Is that what it is? Yeah.
I don't know which one ever. Then suddenly you go, okay, we're putting our best DB on that guy. We're going to have the safety make sure we bracket him. We're going to make sure he doesn't do anything.
Well, and then the thing kills because the OD, right? Like, basketball is a flow game. It's back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Football with the OD, it gets choppy.
Mm-hmm.
You're on for 6 minutes, then maybe you're off for 8 minutes, and you lose that state anyways, I think. Yeah. You know. But, yeah, I mean, there still can be things where, like, you see this quarterback going 18 for 18. Like, whoa, that is still probably a flow state.
Do you get uncomfortable when you hear not just Joel Klatt, but you hear the movers and shakers around college sports, the NCAA, when they talk about editing the college football playoffs, and then maybe that conversation bleeds into March Madness? Does that make you like...
Yeah, well, they're two different things. Like, the NCAA still has the control of March, because that's where the money comes from. And football is different. But yeah, I mean, absolutely. I worry about it all the time, not just because of football, but, you know, I mean, people just look at the bottom line. And it's always driven, you know, by the Power Four. It's always driven by the Big 12, the Big 10, the SEC, and whoever the other one is, I guess the ACC. But it's driven by money. It's driven by those guys. And I think it's kind of, you know, it makes sense. And it's like, okay, now these, you know, salary caps and these millions and millions and, you know, private equity team, you know, or firms are buying up the leagues, and the leagues are giving $50 million to each school, and then private equity firms are buying the schools, buying the departments. So, like, it's all money driven. And it does. It's just like, you do get worried. Like, man, if there's never the chance to get in the tournament, and it turns into what FCS is, like, that would be a really disappointing thing in you know, sitting at this table, right?
I was listening to we talked about this right before the podcast started, but PJ Fleck, the head coach of Minnesota, football coach, talking about, hey, we're asked to do and manage teams, like basketball teams, football teams, in a way that's very professional now, and you're seeing that on your side of it too, a little bit, right? But without the restrictions that professional teams have. So when you get a guy, you get a stud player, and it's like, hey, here's what we can give you. There's no guarantee that he'll take it, but there's no guarantee he's coming back the next year. And so all that money just, so like in professional sports, it's like, we're going to invest, but we're going to do like a 4-year deal. So we've got this guy for 4 years, and we can build around it. We got that position taken care of. You guys are asked to do this every single year.
Well, then even if that guy leaves, demands a trade, or you trade him,
you still get something.
Yeah, because the salaries are matched up, and you got to match up the salaries and trades like in the NBA. And so it makes for some parity and some restraints. And yeah, like this, I mean, there are no restraints. And so it's, you know, there's the cap in-house for the reps, so the $20 million or whatever is for schools, which, again, there's none of that here, you know, right? Mm-hmm. But like, you know, you talked about the big boys and the 20 million and how do you split those up department wide? Like that's a department decision. But then there's still the third party, the NIL ghost stuff. So like, you know, maybe a team makes at the biggest levels 4 or 5 million for their team in house, but then they might have a payroll of 12, 15, 18, 20. So yeah, there's no parity there. You know, obviously like you look at the NBA, right? There's a salary cap. But is there one in baseball yet?
No, there's not one in baseball.
And that's what you see.
And they're trying like, to get that, but that's hard.
It's going to be the Dodgers. It's going to be the Red Sox. It's going to be the Yankees. But that's what you see.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's a cap, and then even in football, like, man, it's hard to keep winning and winning and winning because even the way they modify the next year's schedule, right? So they've got it kind of figured out for parity purposes, right? Like, hey, like you win this year, man, you're going to have the worst draft pick next year. Like right now the Broncos got the 33rd pick if they're the number one seed, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. So there's parity built into the whole thing. There's no parity, but I don't know if anyone cares.
No. I guess it just depends on the fan base, right?
Yeah.
Like, I look at this and go, like, coaches have buyouts. You know,
sure.
If I come in and I Lane Kiffin you and I hire you away, I got a buyout. Yeah. I don't know how this is possible, but I think if a guy enters the portal, because clearly there's guys getting information that maybe they shouldn't before they enter the portal sometime.
Oh, yeah.
I think the school that signs them should kick back something, some kind of a buyout goes back to the school.
Yeah, that would be the best way to do it,
yeah.
You know, like the European system. And yeah, that'd be great. How does it work? I have no idea.
But I don't know.
Yeah, it would keep our world going,
mm-hmm.
and it would be a drop in the bucket for the world that those players are going into. So like, let's just say – whatever, you know, school A poaches a player from the big sky and says, okay, we're going to pay this guy $800,000, which that is a very legitimate thing that happens, right? All right, well, the big sky school, I mean, the big sky school, maybe they can get him $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. I don't know. So when they take that player in the portal, if they can give 60, that 60 can go get another really good player,
yep.
Right? A player that can maybe keep that. But as it is, and this is, again, why – the trickle down is number one seeds all made the Final Four. That never happens.
Mm-hmm.
There's no upsets anymore, right? And that's why, like, going back to the Texas Tech game, like, man, we had him on the ropes.
Yep.
And 89-85, 4 minutes left and 3 minutes left. Brock had a great look at a three. And if he bangs that three, you never know at that point in time. Maybe it's 5 minutes left. But, yeah, I mean, you just do the best you can and you control what you can control. You know, there's so many things so much bigger and so much out of our ability to control. We're just trying to get better, man, so we can put the best product on the floor. We have the best chance we can in the league play to have the best seed we can in the tournament so we can try to win three games and try to get to March Madness. That's it.
It's an ever-changing world
in
the college sports scene, but you guys continue to handle it well, and you're getting wins. And
you guys are doing a good job.
Two more non-conference games left, and they're both Colorado
big
teams.
Ones.
You guys are 3-0 in this against Colorado teams this year, right? Colorado College, Colorado Christian, Air Force.
Yep, and these are the challenges get more
to go
and more
5-0.
Substantial. Yeah, but it'd be great.
Yeah,
it would be great. So just trying to focus on this DU game, and it's a massive challenge, and I know our guys are excited for it. We'll have a great crowd, 1 p.m. Obviously, no students here. But I think the community is going to really step up and show up, and I think it's good. I think that arena – 1 o'clock on Saturdays, it's going to be buzzing.
Yeah, it's a busy time, too.
It is.
As you guys get up set for the holidays and all that, too. Coach, I don't know. We'll get together and figure out schedules next week. Next 2 weeks are going to be weird because you have Christmas on Thursday. You have New Year's on Thursday.
We'll figure something out.
We'll figure something out, my friend. Appreciate you going everywhere with me. And not just on the UNC side, but all of it because I love picking your brain
about
that stuff, man.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Merry Christmas.
Okay, you too, Brady.
Happy New Year.
All right.
All right. Two-Man Game podcast available on Apple or Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfk.com.
The Two-Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!